Is your appetite sometimes out of control? Are you unable to stop eating even when you're full? Download our new Intelligent Medicine video, Defensive Eating, Taming Your Addiction to Food. There's a physiological basis for food addiction. The food industry has gripped our brains using powerful food science. Find out what we can do about it. Go to drhoffman.com to download this important video. We will arm you with proven strategies to change your eating behavior forever. Go to drhoffman.com. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And, you know, the theme here on Intelligent Medicine, we often talk about vitamins and supplements. We've been through many of the common supplements. We've talked about the B vitamins. We've talked about the antioxidants. But occasionally we talk about supplements that are extraordinary, new, novel. And we're always looking for that cutting-edge supplement that promises to revolutionize the field. And today I think we have a candidate. This is a supplement that I've looked into. It looked promising. I began to explore its use with patients, and I've had some very promising results. The target is the joints and the bone structure. And we're always looking for natural supplements that can help with the problem of bone health. We're also, many of us, suffering from inflammatory bone problems. Also, many of us experience injuries, whether it's a deliberate injury, as in a surgery to replace a hip, replace a knee, or whether it's an accidental injury such as I experienced about 9 years ago. I broke my hip. I wasn't aware of the existence of the supplement we're about to talk about today, but I sure wish I had been, because in using it with some of my patients who've experienced breaks and fractures, I've seen pretty exciting results. So today with us is James Scafidi. He's a president and CEO of a company that has developed and marketed a supplement called Cyplexanol. The brand name of the product that I use is Austinol. You've heard me talk about it here on Intelligent Medicine. Welcome to the program, James. It's a pleasure having you here on Intelligent Medicine.
Thank you, Dr.
Well, tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, my background is in the field of biochemistry. I've spent years studying protein chemistry and protein purification, and currently enrolled in a doctorate of naturopathic medicine.
Okay, that's a great asset, because I have tremendous respect for the naturopathic physicians who I encounter, because they get a rigorous training in all forms of nutrition and in the use of natural substances such as, you know, what you're talking about. Today we're talking about Cyplexanol. So give us the story. How did you come across Cyplexanol?
Sure. The story really goes back into the early 2000s, and I was working with an orthopedic surgical company. I was the brand manager for a surgical grade of this protein, which we used to produce for people post-operative healing. I was very curious of the biochemistry of the protein complex, spoke with many of the experts, and we found out that we can extract this protein from a food source and produce it as an oral supplement, not only to help accelerate fracture healing, but also for bone and joint and inflammatory conditions.
Why is it important to extract it from a food source? I guess that has something to do with regulatory, because, I mean, it's not a synthetic drug. Sure. It's not a patent medicine. Therefore, it can be offered as a nutritional supplement because it is natural.
That's correct. And we extract this protein from certified organic bovine bones. We all make this protein complex in our body. And what recent research has shown us is that as some people age, they lose the ability to produce these proteins, which we call Cyplexanol as a complex.
Okay. So this also, another term for this is something called BMP, bone morphogenic protein. What's a BMP?
Sure. Bone morphogenetic proteins, or bone morphogenic proteins, and this entire complex was discovered in 1965 by an orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Marshall Urist, and he's really credited with the founding of the field of osteobiologics. Dr. Urist discovered this protein complex in our bones, and when he mixed it with stem cells, they turned into bone and cartilage-building cells. And that launched an exciting field of osteobiologics and surgery. These BMPs, or bone morphogenetic proteins, are all bound together, along with other growth factors, on a collagen backbone. And that single multi-protein complex is what we've been extracting for 25 years, both for surgeons and now as an oral supplement, ensuring that its bioactivity is maintained through the extraction process.
So this is really kind of the holy grail of orthopedic surgery, because so many times, I mean, by the role of the orthopedic surgeon is basically to be a bone setter, to put the bones together to approximate the ends of the broken bone, and then cross your fingers, because you hope that nature will begin the knitting process of the bones coming together. But all too often, especially in sometimes older, debilitated patients, that doesn't happen. So we've invoked all kinds of methods to get bone to knit. There's even been some talk of magnetic therapies, external magnetic pulsation that helps kind of reorient the osteoblasts so that they grow properly and repair the bone. But this is a different kind of approach. At first, this was used as kind of like a kind of a magic dust that you'd sprinkle on the operative field and, you know, close up the patient and then hope that the bone would knit.
Exactly. It was produced as a powder. Later, with the same team that produced it, as a gel and as a paste for surgeons, this was applied directly in the OR on a broken bone, and it would regrow the bone and causing fusion. And again, that's a different form and a different concentration than what we've learned now is an oral complex, which interestingly survives the gut and binds to receptors in the gut. And these receptors remove the active protein of the individual BMPs from the complex, go through the bloodstream to the target organ, be it a bone or joint. And we've now learned that these proteins, through an oral form, can turn on stem cells in our body and regrow bone and cartilage tissue while working on inflammatory signaling.
Well, you know, what you said is very important, because, you know, there are many things that, you know, we'd like to take orally that, you know, we hope and pray goes to the right organ. So, you know, blind people can't take a ground-up eyeball and hope to restore their sight. And people with liver failure can't take liver powder and hope that it regenerates their liver. So how do we know that actually this stuff doesn't, I mean, the stomach digests protein. That's why when we eat a steak, it gets broken down into individual amino acids. How do we know that this stuff arrives intact at the bone and actually does the job? What's the research showing?
Well, the research has shown us, one, man, as a primitive animal, used to ingest bone. And so from anthropological studies, we retain the receptors in our gut. Right now, dogs have an enzyme that can break down bone tissue with their saliva. And human beings have the ability to absorb these various bone morphogenetic proteins that are in the cyplexanol ingredient, which powers ostenol.
Right. Correction, we used to eat bone. You know, I got I conjure up pictures of the way that my grandmother used to eat a chicken. And she didn't eat a chicken like a teenager might eat a chicken today, you know, like throwing away half the chicken. She just ate it and ate it and ate it, and then took the bones, threw it in a pot, rendered it down by cooking it for, you know, a day or two in a slow cooker, and made like a nutritious broth. But we don't do that anymore. We don't eat bones. We think of bones as kind of like a waste product.
Correct. And that's a great nutritional product, putting it into a broth. However, these bioactive proteins in the cyplexanol complex are destroyed when we cook it into broth. Mm-hmm. And so it has to be extracted through a cold process, which we have a proprietary process for in our facility. And to your earlier question, the chemistry of this protein is quite unique. The way it's folded by nature prevents it from being hydrolyzed in the gut. So it resists both enzymatic and hydrolytic degradation. So the acids and enzymes in our gut, which normally break down proteins into amino acids, this complex and these bioactive proteins resist that. And then, of course, the fascinating discovery is to find that there are receptors in the GI tract for the bioactive component.
Hmm. So the research on this, I mean, you've got a website at zycalbio.com. I invite our listeners to go there. And there's a whole section on the research that has been done in this area. And it dates back, into the 1990s, some of it. People are actually looking at the absorption patterns, the utility of this bone morphogenic protein, otherwise known as cyplexanol or brand name Ostinol. Now it's a large molecule, right? A fairly large molecule.
It is.
But it kind of goes against this traditional notion that large molecules don't get absorbed properly. It's actually been demonstrated to get to where it needs to work.
Right. So what I like to tell people to think of is this. If you were to think of a ball of yarn, and on that ball of yarn were these little proteins, and that whole ball of yarn is rolled up, the yarn itself is the collagen backbone. And that is really the delivery system for these bioactive proteins. And so throughout the entire yarn are the proteins attached, and those are what come off and are absorbed through the stomach through a lock-and-key mechanism in what we call active transport. And so that's a very different absorption than what we normally think of breaking things down into amino acids.
Amino acids, small and sugars, so or free fatty acids, as happens in the digestive tract.
And so there the body's able to now bring across a large bioactive polypeptide, which exists naturally in our bloodstream. These BMPs are made in various tissues in the body and excreted through our bloodstream to various target organs.
So what then happens, now that we've established that the stuff gets absorbed, what happens when it reaches the site of the bones? So, say, in the first instance, let's talk about fractures.
Sure. In bone tissue, these proteins activate a cell that lives in the lining around the bone called the periosteum. And in the periosteum lining around the bone are what's called mesenchymal stem cells. Now, these are very different than embryonic stem cells. These mesenchymal stem cells, when activated, will only turn into osteoblasts or bone-building cells. And so the active components of cyplexanol, the BMPs themselves, bind to the mesenchymal stem cell, activate it, and at a DNA level, turn these cells on to become osteoblasts, which then morph into bone-building cells to produce new bone tissue. Now, once that happens, the body has the ability now for minerals to stick to the bone. So we're literally building the tissue component so minerals and calcium can stick.
Like a scaffolding, kind of, or a matrix that other stuff clings to.
Exactly.
To form the hard part of bone.
Exactly right. I often tell our doctors and our customers that if you were to think about throwing a tennis ball at a chain-link fence, to the tennis ball being the calcium, you need that matrix or scaffold or fence there to catch the minerals. And so what Ostinol does is it grows the tissue so that whichever calcium you want to recommend can now be utilized by the body properly. And that's the way nature naturally grows bone.
Very interesting. So, can you explain to our listeners the process by which bone is built or degrades? Because it involves a process called remodeling. And I think a lot of people think it's just a matter of, like throwing heaps of, calcium and other cement into the bone and that it just accumulates. There's actually something else going on.
Right. Sure, and I'm glad you bring that up. That's a very important piece. Remodeling is critical. One of the things that I find fascinating in bone biology is that bone is very dynamic. The bones we're born with are not the bones we die with. Every 8 years, our bones completely change in our body. It's a natural process.
Wait, that is a very interesting factoid. So in other words, 8 years hence, my bones will contain none of the material that now constitute my bones. It'll all turn over and be replaced.
That's absolutely correct. Every 8 years on average, we regrow our bones.
Okay.
And that's done piece by piece, cell by cell. And to the remodeling process, there is, you know, the two cells, the osteoblasts and the osteoclasts. And the osteoblasts build bone, and the osteoclasts chew up the old bone. And when we see people with bone loss, either some bone loss or osteopenia, osteoporosis, the osteoclasts are working too fast, and they're chewing up or resorbing more bone tissue. And so we can administer as much calcium and vitamin D3 as we'd like, but there's no tissue or scaffolding to absorb that bone, that mineral, excuse me. And so what Zyplexanol does in Ostanol is grow the bone tissue. It stimulates the production of new osteoblasts. And that's what makes this so unique. There are many, many products that help fortify bone, but nothing that can turn on the stem cell to produce new osteoblasts, which make new scaffolding or bone tissue.
In fact, I think this is actually unique among osteoporosis drugs as well, because the bisphosphonate drugs, drugs like Actonel and Boniva and Fosamax and Reclast, they all work to stop the osteoclast. So what they end up doing is they in effect, they stop the remodeling. They allow sort of an accretion or an over abundance of bone material, but that may or may not result in structurally a stronger bone. I mean, studies do show that in many cases they reduce the risk of fracture. So we you know, needn't you know, suggest that they're without value, but they do so at a price by inhibiting the osteoclast, sometimes really long term, which may be why after 5 years or so they may. Studies now show that they can increase the risk of certain types of fractures that are due to fragility.
Right. And the other thing which is, I think is important for your audience to recognize is the way those drugs work when they suppress the osteoclast is they first have to shut down the osteoblasts.
Oh.
And so once you've shut the osteoblast down, you inadvertently will shut down the osteoclast, which is what they want to do. So
in other words, it's not we try to do warfare without collateral damage, but sometimes the civilians get injured when we fire a smart bomb at ISIS headquarters. It's sort of like we're damaging the osteoblasts when we're trying to suppress the osteoclasts.
Correct. And so both cells shut down, and the net result is, yes, the body tries to, as you know, build some bone, but unfortunately the quality of bone that's built, long-term, we don't see that very favorable for most women. They are absolutely needed and for women with severe bone loss and osteoporosis, but most women are not going to receive the benefit that they're looking for, which is to grow new bone tissue. The drugs are simply not designed to do that.
Okay, so, you know, all this sounds great in theory, and sort of the way I proceed, you know, when I look at new supplements is first, you know, I look at the theory, and the theory sounds wonderful, sounds very plausible. Then I look at the scientific studies, but what I'm most interested in is there clinical evidence, and ultimately, is there evidence in my patients that this makes a difference, A, in more rapid, definitive healing of bone fractures. So that occasionally happens with my patients, but more often it's a matter of osteoporosis, and we're always looking for natural agents to support bone health. So where is that evidence? Do we have that evidence from clinical trials?
And we do. It's taken us quite some time. We have multi-year studies now, which some have been submitted to the journals and others are going to the editor as we speak. The real exciting piece here is we've seen people with very severe bone loss that come through their doctor with negative threes and negative fours in their DEXA score, and that's severe osteoporosis. We've seen people using Ostanol as a supplement improving their bone tissue, improving the bone density T-scores. And that's only attributed to the fact that the bone tissue is growing.
And we're using Ostanol as a sole agent, or we're using it in the context of other bone supportive nutrients?
Concurrently with the calcium and vitamin D.
Okay.
And So whichever people's favorite calcium is, we'll generally recommend any type of organic calcium, such as a citrate, lactate, gluconate, ascorbate, any of those good, well-absorbed calciums. But again, we can get the calcium through the GI mucosa, as you know, but the challenge becomes, how do you get it to stick to the bone tissue?
Mm-hmm. Well,
and
you know, as
able
you
to solve that problem.
As you're aware, you know, recent studies, primarily out of a center in New Zealand, have shown that oral calcium, even accompanied by vitamin D, doesn't do that much to forestall osteoporosis. Actually, it was helpful to some extent, but the authors were a little biased against supplements. They tend to support the use of medications for osteoporosis. And they said, well, you know, if you take these medications, I mean, if you take calcium and vitamin D, you may see like a 1% or 2% improvement in your bone density. That's not enough to forestall a fracture. You need to be on a medication. So what you're saying is that Ostanol can sort of boost the efficacy of calcium, vitamin D, and maybe other cofactors in enhancing bone.
Absolutely. Again, using the traditional mineral approach has only been one half of the equation, the fortification of the bone tissue. How do you grow the bone tissue? Until now, we've not been able to address that. And that's what Cyplexanol and Ostanol offers us, the ability to finally grow the bone tissue, and then have those minerals finally stick and develop good quality bone so that women primarily can enjoy a good, healthy life without the worry and risk of having a fracture.
All right. Well, this is really exciting stuff. And, you know, it's great that we have an opportunity to have an explanation of the science behind Ostanol. As many of our listeners know, we divide these podcasts into two parts, and I've got a lot more questions, particularly about dosage, how to take Ostanol, you know, what do the studies say that you need to take, and also some interesting new data that Ostanol may be helpful beyond just bone health, that it may also extend its benefits to joint health. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today we're talking to President and CEO of Zycal. That's the company. Zycal Bio. The website is Zycalbio.com, ZYCALBIO.com, where you can learn more about bone morphogenic protein and Cyplexanol, and the brand name of the product is Ostanol. In part two, we'll talk more about what may be an exciting new breakthrough in bone and joint health. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.